from KQED.
When you make that long drive up or down I-5, look east. You see fields and orchards stretching to the Sierra, livestock, and this time of year, lots of tomato trucks. What you don't see is California's largest permanent reservoir, because it's underground in the rock formations known as aquifers. For years, farms and cities have pumped water out to meet their needs. But now, as water supplies dwindle, there's a major movement afoot to put some water back. KQED science editor Craig Miller has more as part of our special project, Heat and Harvest.
Somewhere west of Bakersfield, Harry Starkey unlocks the gate to some big electric pumps surrounded by open plains of scrub.
We are on the North Recharge and Recovery Project for the West Kern Water District.
Starkey is general manager of the district, but he's also a banker. And these pumps are his ATM. Deposits made here are not in dollars, but acre feet of water.
Right adjacent to the field, you can see some low elevation ground where we will impound water.
West Kern was the first to formally start using the aquifers that lie beneath the San Joaquin Valley as the vault for what's come to be known as groundwater banking. That was nearly 40 years ago. Now it's one of almost a dozen groundwater banks designed to capture water in wet years and save it for a non-rainy day.
We can take these high flow occurrences, these flashy occasions when water arrives and there's no home for it, the farmers don't need it, the reservoirs are full in Southern California, and then we have the ability to store that water underground.
Starkey's district doesn't have any groundwater of its own. It's had to buy land outside the district and pipe water to it just to let it soak in.
And so what you're looking for are sandy soils. And where do you find those? You find them proximate to river courses.
Tapping the occasional spring pulse from the Kern River and other sources, water banks in this part of the state have been able to squirrel away as much as 3 million acre feet of water. That's more than half the capacity of Shasta Lake, as near as they can tell. You see, it's not exactly the kind of banking you're used to, where you go down to the ATM, feed it some cash or a check. It spits out a receipt, and you know exactly how much money you have in your account and how much you can take out. With groundwater banking, the vault is an unseen rock formation somewhere underground, so checking your balance involves a little more guesswork.
Right now, it's current balance, we think, but everyone's looking at that balance and saying, I'm not sure I agree with that.
Eric Averett runs the Rosedale Rio Bravo Water Storage District on the west side of Bakersfield. In 2010, his district ended up in court with some neighboring water bankers when some of his customers' wells started drying up.
Clearly, the groundwater system is a dynamic system. It's like a river underneath the ground, and it does move. And the benefits associated with the water when you put them into the ground are transient. And I think we're learning that.
They've learned, for instance, that about 4% of the water put into the ground might not come back out. Think of it as nature's ATM fee. Still, groundwater banking is getting big buzz in water circles of late because, frankly, it beats the alternative, building more dams and reservoirs to store surface water. It beats it from a financial standpoint and is far more palatable to environmentalists. Not that it's cheap. It takes a lot of expensive plumbing to pump and move the water around to where it's stored and retrieved. Districts down here just completed a $60 million expansion of something called the Cross Valley Canal to shuttle water back and forth between the east and west sides of the valley. That's chicken feed compared to the price of a new dam, and Harry Starkey says that's turning some heads.
You know, it's now sexy to kind of embrace it and look at it, and people are wanting to borrow from what's being done here, not only in the United States, but all over the world. People come from, you know, all over the world to come and look at what we're doing in terms of groundwater banking.
It's not surprising. Aquifers around the world are severely overdrawn, including some in the Central Valley. Managing Southern California's surface and groundwater together this way could ease that problem and mean far less reliance on water imported from the fragile Sacramento Delta, if they can get it right.
And within Kern, we're saying we better start doing these things, and we better start doing them together.
So Averett and others have put their legal squabbles on hold while they work out the kinks. California's groundwater has been called the least monitored, least regulated in the nation. The state is under pressure to fix that and is watching this experiment closely, as Averett and Starkey are well aware.
We've studied, we've modeled, We understand it from a technical standpoint, from an institutional standpoint, in a way that the state of California never could.
So managers here are racing to prove that they can manage groundwater resources without more regulation.
So we're all kind of in this together, sink or swim. We all rely upon this geologic formation for our groundwater, and you know we're going to live or die together.
For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller in Kern County.
You can see much more about how California farms are confronting climate change in our joint reporting project with the Center for Investigative Reporting. It's all at californiareport.org/heatandharvest.